It's never really about who's up here speaking at all. It's more about what God says to our hearts, right? So we've been doing a series now for months. I try to remember when we started. Can anybody remember? I can't remember. Yeah, was it like Christmas time? The series entitled In, Up, and Out. And I actually wrote it down because I forgot it so many times when I was going through this message. Oh yeah, obviously it's. And you know, it's so important because we've been looking at our, you know, inwards to the Jesus inside of us. And we've been looking upwards to who Jesus is and who he said he was. You know, he said, I am the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate for the sheep. I mean, he mentioned and he revealed himself to us through the book of John. And now we're looking outwards. That's our next theme. And Louise did a message last week, you know, about Jesus going to Cana and the first miracle he did there. And it was a really good message. So if you were not here last week, I do encourage you to ask her for her notes, because it was a really encouraging message about how Jesus went outwards. And obviously Jesus is our example, so he expects us to go outwards as well into the world. So for the next, I think, about 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about going out and how it is that we can go out. So tonight we're reading from John chapter 2. And we're going through the passage where Jesus actually went to Jerusalem. So he's gone from Cana and he's now in Jerusalem. So we're going to pick it up from verse 13. Is it up there? Yes, it is. Okay, so it says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Verse 17. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, let's paint the picture. People are going about their business, and they're in the temple court, and they're trading. And Jesus walks in, and he looks around, and he gets angry. Now, I didn't really want to look at the scripture, because I've never seen Jesus as someone who got angry. You know, we've always got a picture in our mind of who we think Jesus is. You know, and my picture was he was this happy man walking around, never angry, never sad. You know, and obviously in the scripture, he is a different side of Jesus. And my biggest question was, why did he get so angry? I mean, it wasn't like they were selling in the Holy of Holies. You know, if you know anything about the temple, there were different areas in the temple. You've got the courts, and you've got the most holy place, and then you've got the Holy of Holies, and only the priest was allowed in there. It's not like they were violating that. They were just outside. You know, and you can justify it a bit saying, well, you know, they're still at church. They're still at the temple, so it's not like, you know, they're in an unholy place. So why was it such a big deal that Jesus got that angry that he actually sent them all out? I mean, he actually accused them of something in Matthew. I didn't actually give you the scripture, Gordon, sorry. But in Matthew 21, verse 13, the same scripture, Jesus actually said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So he actually accused them of being thieves. So he was pretty angry. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been asking God, why is this such a big deal? Why was he so angry about this? And the Lord kind of showed me something. And I wanted to show you a little clip. I don't know if we can play it, Gordon, how it works. And it's going to be a bit of a weird one, but let's see. If it's about 2 minutes long. think you can stop it if you can. That works. All right. Oh my word, you look at that and you think, what has that got to do with this message? I mean, that's just a clip of a church. Well, that church there was the morning service and the evening service of the church I came out of. So that was my church, and that was just one of our Sunday mornings that somebody recorded. And the reason why I shared that is that because when I came to this country, my view of church was that and nothing else. So if anybody held church or did church that was not like that, I was very confused. And I said, Lord, where are the lights? And where are all the people jumping around? And where are all the people dancing around? And where is the big, you know, the big stage with the preacher in the front, you know, with his tie on? You know, where is the big band? And the Lord said to me, Heather, you are molding the church to what you want it to be rather than what I want it to be. And so when Jesus walked into this temple, he saw that people had molded the temple into what it is that they wanted, what made them happy, not what God had actually ordained. Now, I'm not saying that church is wrong, because that's a great church. I love that church. But there's so much more than that. Church is not that. Church is us. So the word kingdom in the Bible is in the four Gospels. I actually went and counted them through a concordance myself. Is mentioned 124 times in the Gospels. The word kingdom alone, you know, when Jesus says, you know, he likens things to the kingdom of God. And I thought, this must be really, really important. You know, when a South African, i.e. me, moves from Africa and I come and live in the United Kingdom, I have to go through quite a process to become a citizen of this country. Many times, like my dad had to write an exam. He had to live here 5 years. He had to pay a huge amount of money to become a citizen. And then he had to pledge allegiance to the Queen. You know, you have to do that if you want to be a citizen. But in order to become a citizen, you had to go through that process. But then also, in order to become a British citizen and live like a British person, he had to take on the British culture and the British way of thinking, and the British laws. You know, I can't necessarily follow South African laws in this country. It would not go down well. Because, for example, one of the laws in South Africa is that nighttime, if you're a single girl driving, you don't have to stop at any of the traffic lights. I'm not sure that law would go down well in this country. I don't think so. But I've got a choice. If I come and live in Britain, I get to choose to take part of that culture and take on the laws and take on the belief systems. And entering the kingdom of God is exactly the same, because this is our laws. These are our ordinances. These are things that we follow. And when we move from living in the world to accepting the kingdom of God as our way of life, we should be taking on new thoughts, new laws, new ways of thinking. And you think, well, what has this got to do with Jesus walking in the temple? That just doesn't make sense. Well, because we are the church and we are living in the kingdom of God, I know that obviously this is the United Kingdom, so we're not in heaven, but the way we think is the way the kingdom of God should be modeled in our minds. You know, for example, let's take a brilliant example. If someone comes and cuts you up on the road, you have two choices. Either you can get angry or you can forgive them straight away. Now, getting angry is not living by a kingdom mindset. But forgiving them straight away is saying, well, what did Jesus say? How did he model his life? He forgave straight away. And that's what taking on the kingdom of God was. So when Jesus walked into the temple, he saw people there that no longer followed the ordinances that he had given them, because he had said, you will not use my house as a house of merchandise, but you will use my house as prayer. You will use my house as a place of worship. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Lord had given the Israelites. I mean, if you want to read it, you just read the accounts of Solomon and obviously what he commanded him and what he told him to build. And he was very particular on what the house of God was supposed to be, and what people's hearts were supposed to be. And it was supposed to be a place of worship, a place where people could go and pray. But humans come in and they change it for their own profit. And they said, no, 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 this is not going to be according to God's law anymore. We're going to make this place a place that, you know, we gain something. And Jesus saw this, and he went and he found them in there, and he got so angry, so angry that he drove them out and said, you will not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. You will not do this. And he actually said the scriptures, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Now, obviously, David actually said that in Psalm 69, if you want to check that. But he had a love for God's house. He had a love for God's place. And at the same time, do we have a love for God's kingdom? Do we love the kingdom of God? Do we love living in the kingdom of God as his church? That's the biggest question we have. Because your actions will show how much you love the kingdom of God by the way we react to people, by the way we live our lives, by the place we actually spend our time shows whether or not we actually are living in the kingdom of God. I wanted to tell a story. My pastor in South Africa, he's quite a well-known pastor in South Africa, and he's part of that big church, and he runs that church. And in the 1980s, there was a great revival in South Africa, a healing revival. So lots of people were getting healed and delivered, and it was a great thing. And he tells the story that he was in prayer one day, and there were some doctors coming with their patients to get prayed for, and they were going to write an article on whether or not this healing stuff works. And the Lord spoke to my pastor, his name's Pastor Theo, spoke to him and said, don't pray for them. If there's less than 10 of them, don't pray for them. And he said, that doesn't make sense. I'm praying for everybody, you know, it's not me that does it anyway. Anyway, he went to the service and he saw the doctors there. And he remembered what the Lord said, that the Lord said, you know, if there's less than 10 of them, don't pray. But he justified it. And he said, well, if I just pray for one of those patients and they get healed, they'll write this big article about the church and everyone will see that Jesus, you still healed today. So he called up the first patient and said, you know, what's your problem? And they said, I've got a heart issue or whatever it was. And he said, well, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And the patient said, no. And he said, well, of course he won't heal you because you don't have the faith. But he prayed for them, and not one of them got healed. The next day, the newspapers in South Africa were filled with his face, all over the newspapers, saying what a fraud he was and a scam he was because he had, you know, that this healing stuff didn't work. And it had such an impact on the church that that people started leaving the church. And a church of about 3,500 went down to about 800 people within 3 weeks. As quick as that, just because of all these articles, because the kids were being teased at school because they were going, you know, their parents were going to this church. And Pastor Theo didn't know what to do about it. So, and you know, he was at the point where the church was ready to close because it was a much bigger church than this. So financially, they couldn't keep the church running, and the church was due to close. From a 3,500 member church, literally it's 800 in 3 weeks. So Pastor Theo went away to pray. He went down to the coast where he didn't know anyone, and he took 3 weeks to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And eventually, after 3 weeks, Jesus spoke to him and said, give me back my church. And he said, but Jesus, this is your church. I don't run this church. You are Lord of the church. And he prayed some more. And Jesus said to him again, give me back my church. And he said again, but Jesus, this is your church. All I am is the pastor. This church belongs to you. And a third time, give me back my church. And Pastor Theo didn't know what to do, so he said, okay, Jesus, how do I give you back the church? And Jesus said to him, as long as you are making the decisions in this church, it is no longer my church, it is your church. And when it's your church, I step out. Now that sounds like a big thing, and Pastor Theo thought about that. And what the Lord brought to remembrance was that the Lord had said, do not pray for those doctors and their patients. Do not pray. And he chose to do it. Now, that sounds like a huge story. But I believe that he learned from that, that when we are obedient to the Lord, we are walking in his kingdom as his church. Because remember, the world, we might be the only church the world will ever see. They may never step foot in a building. They may never, ever read a Bible. But we will be that Bible. We might be the only ones. Do we have a kingdom mindset? A kingdom mindset. If Jesus walked into our temples now, in other words, our lives, would we be found wanting? Would he see that we're coming to church or only doing church for our own gain, like these people were? No, that's one question I always ask myself. If Jesus were to look at my life right now, what would he see? Would I be found wanting? Because these people in the courtyard that were driven out, they were found wanting. They were found that the kingdom of God was no longer their mindset. God was not in their minds anymore. And, you know, something that the Lord keeps telling me is that, you know, URC is doing a great work now. We are building a huge, you know, we're redoing the whole front of it. And I'm so privileged now to be a part of it. I'm so glad that I chose to become a part of the URC. But I do actually believe that not just the building is due to change. I do believe the church is due to change. And that's different. The building and the church are not the same. The building is just a place where the church comes in and worships God. And what I want to encourage us to do between now and June is actually give us a chance to start looking inward again and say, how is it that, you know, we're changing the building, but how can we change as a church together? How is it that we can actually step into living no longer in the world, but living into the kingdom, thinking like the kingdom, thinking that, you know, this is our only way of life. You know, and this is our chance. You know, as Dan, myself, and Louise had a meeting the other day, and they said, you know, we're so excited about what's going to happen because this is a chance for the new church. And I know it's just a building, but if we can all get into our mindsets that, you know, this is time to allow God to do something new in us and to do something fresh and to put a passion in our hearts for him and his kingdom again, now is the perfect chance. So all I want to do is encourage you to open your hearts to him now, you know, and no longer model church to what you think it should be, because that's what I thought, but to actually make it what he says. What does he say church should be, you know? And it starts with us. So I'd like to pray, if that's okay. Father God, Lord, we just want to thank you that you've blessed this church so much that we can expand. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, Lord, to change as well, that we'd no longer be worldly-minded people, but kingdom-minded people, that your law would be in front of us all the time. And that, Lord, you would just, in the next few months, before we move into this new stage of the church, that you would do a work in our hearts, Lord, a work in our hearts to also change inwardly as a church together, as a body together, Lord. You know, as the word says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come here, that your kingdom would come to not just the URC West Kirby, but to our lives personally as well, and that we'd be mindful of that. And for this, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.